This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Jay Carney will soon replace Robert Gibbs as the president's press secretary. This switch caught the attention of our history doctor, Bill Smith. And for our latest installment in the series we call We're History, Bill says while the press secretary's presence in the White House doesn't date all the way back to the earliest presidents, there has been a colorful history of press secretaries.
When the current media look at Robert Gibbs, he certainly fits into what might be considered flack or advisor category. The press secretary position is a fairly recent invention in American history. It's a 20th century invention and a factor of a growing media contingent that needed to be first fed with information and then managed later because the president can't come in and speak every day. And that's the role of the press secretary, to be the individual that speaks for the president. That said, they basically fall into two groups: folks that have come from the media and folks that have come from advisory positions.
So not every president has had a press secretary. George Washington didn't have one. You said it was 20th century. Didn't television sort of begin to speed up the need?
No. You know, I think that's one of the interesting things is everybody assumes that it might be John F. Kennedy and the great beginning of television as a part of the political debate that brought in the press secretary. But no, they go all the way back to the FDR era. Stephen Early was the first officially named White House press secretary, and he served for two terms, first handling the FDR years from 1933 to 1945, then returning for a year to assist Harry Truman. And in this era, as you might imagine, because you did not have television as a medium of measure at all, really, until the very end of that, it was all about the newspapers and working with the newspapers. So the men of the 50s and the 60s that took that job, the era that Mad Men is portraying as we see it on cable, were mostly former journalists. Two of the most respected names in journalism today, Pierre Salinger and Bill Moyers, escalated their careers by doing stints for JFK and LBJ, respectively, as their press secretaries.
Now, a more recent press secretary was Scott McClellan, was in the second Bush administration and wrote the book and claimed that he was misled and was told to, you know, tell things that weren't true.
Well, and Scott McClellan made himself very famous for that. Of course, his employer countered, no, I didn't. And, you know, there's the rub of the whole thing. Press secretary as political functionary becomes a big part of the recent appointees of that position. And you know, not to be unfair to Robert Gibbs when I say this, but he certainly fits into that position. He had been a longtime advisor, a confidant of sort of Barack Obama as he came up the political ladder. He kind of reminds me in that sense of Jody Powell, who was probably the ultimate presidential buddy that made his way into the West Wing. Powell starting off as Jimmy Carter's driver during his early political campaigns, working up to being the governor of Georgia. And then Carter very comfortable with having Jody Powell be the person that speaks for him. That's the part about White House press secretary that media members, critical individuals of the opposite party perhaps, often overlook. The person standing at the podium is speaking for the president, as if Barack Obama, George Bush, Bill Clinton, whomever were standing at the podium.
So you get this sort of this narrow line. Is this person a confidant, friend of the president who obviously has the president's career and agenda in his own mind, or a real PR professional whose job it is to dispense the truth?
Well, and, you know, you see a lot of the PR agency types, perhaps the Reagan press secretaries, Larry Speakes and Marlon Fitzwater, both had brief times as newspaper journalists before moving into the world of government public relations. D.D. Myers was one of the first purely PR-trained press secretaries, Dana Perino, that came in after Tony Snow. Tony Snow sort of interrupted the trend of individuals that had been trained to be the PR specialist when he came back from a career on television and stepped in to assist George Bush.
So he's the modern exception to the rule.
In many ways, yes.
he was famous. People knew who Tony Snow was before he took the job. Are there others who were household names before they became press secretary? Because it seems it's usually the other way around.
Well, Pierre Salinger was reasonably well known within the journalism community when he stepped in to take that position. Ron Nessen was brought in by Gerald Ford, a NBC correspondent at the time. And, you know, we forget until Bill Clinton arrived at the White House, really the majority of the White House press secretaries had some high-profile journalism background for them, with those, you know, exceptions in the Reagan year.
What other notable press secretaries?
I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to bring up one of the great footnotes of American political public relations history in Gerald Terhorst.
I don't know Gerald Terhorst.
Well, that's fair, because he was the White House press secretary for about a month.
No. Oh. Okay. When was this?
Well, I like to bring this one up, and we talked a little bit up before when the McClellan business came up, because when McClellan claimed I was lied to, yet stayed for quite some time, Terhorst set the standard of the PR principled individual by resigning when he felt like he had been misled by Gerald Ford.
And this was over the Nixon resignation?
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. So he resigned on principle.
The initial story was that Terhorst felt that he could not continue because his credibility had been shot. During that month that he was the press secretary, Terhorst had been telling the media repeatedly that Ford would not pardon Nixon. He was doing so because, of course, the president and the politicos told him to do so. And after he stepped down, it was made clear that his position with Nixon's pardon was not compatible with that to the lack of pardons for Vietnam draft dodgers. Terhorst famously wrote in his resignation, "As your spokesman, I do not know how I could credibly defend the actions in the absence of a like decision to grant absolute pardon to the young men who evaded Vietnam military service as a matter of conscience, and the absence of pardons for former aides and associates of Mr. Nixon, which have been charged with crimes and imprisons stemming from the Watergate situation." So here he is walking in saying, look, number one, you've ruined my credibility because for a month I've been telling these folks that you're not going to do this.
Yeah, and that was kind of a big story at the time.
Yeah, it was fairly big news. But then two, not only because you misled me, I on principle can't continue to represent you because I have this philosophical issue of, you know, H.R. Haldeman, all the rest of the gang in Watergate aren't getting pardoned. They're going to jail. And the Vietnam draft dodgers were not getting a pardon of that. Now, Jimmy Carter, you know, dealt with that later. But it does sort of put a marker in the sand of here's a extremely principled individual that just could not continue in that role. But in that same period, you can't go without bringing up Ron Ziegler.
Now, think about this.
Who I think also was on Saturday Night Live.
Yes, think about this. You're the press secretary during Watergate. That is not an enviable position.
No, and to be at 29, the youngest press secretary ever. He was one of Nixon's young pups, and he broke that run of journalists and ushered in another one of these eras of the operative rather than the former journalist in that position. He also gives us some of the great quotes of spokesperson history. This is the operative statement. The others are inoperative. You know, there is some Rushmore of bad PR quotations that is this.
That's on there?
Yes. Right up there with that. This is my other favorite of Ron Ziegler's. If my answers sound confusing, I think they're confusing because the questions are confusing and the situation is confusing.
It has to be an incredibly difficult job. Because you have to think on your feet, and you have to, in a sense, toe the office line, and you have to all do that without losing your credibility.
Indeed. You look at some of the long periods of time that these original PR types, like a Stephen Early, there's no way you could last that amount of time today. Pierre Salinger or Bill Moyers in the 50s and the 60s. It's a burnout job if there ever was one. So, you know, as Robert Gibbs leaves from the scene, I'm sure that we'll be seeing someone else leaving from the scene from no other reason than the job will just exhaust you.
And until that next press secretary is in the dustbins of history,
we're history.
Bill Smith is our history doctor at Ozarks at Large. He earned his PhD in history at the University of Arkansas and teaches history at Northwest Arkansas Community College. He's also a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, something that seems should be mentioned this week. This is Ozarks at Large.